U.S. Post Office makes a profit. So why is it planning to reduce processing facilities, close post offices, and lay off 150,000 workers? Back in a moment with that one on To The Point.
Share your comments about today's show at kcrw.com/to the point or join the conversation on our Facebook page. You can also follow us on Twitter at @to_the_point_KCRW.
Warman Only back with Reporter's Notebook on To The Point. Starting in May, the U.S. Postal Service plans to close 252 of its 487 mail processing facilities and thousands of post offices around the country. Next day and Saturday service will be things of the past. The goal is to get rid of 150,000 jobs by the end of this year. John Beaumont is the California State President of the National Association of Letter Carriers. Mr. Beaumont, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
Why is it that the Postal Service, while it's making a profit, is announcing these moves?
Well, the Postal Service is announcing these moves or trying to go for making some changes because they're mandated to pay $5.5 billion per year into its future retiree health benefits. It's the only agency in the federal government. In fact, it's the only company or agency in the entire United States that has to fully fund its future retiree health benefits. And this is at a time when the Postal Service is already shrinking through attrition, so this money is being paid and put forward into a fund for no reason at all because there's not going to be people being hired when we're actually having people being lost through attrition. So we're looking at $5.5 billion every single year since a law was passed. The Postal Reform Act came into effect in 2006. So actually, the Postal Service, as you actually mentioned at the beginning, or the public, has actually made a profit last year and is announcing on its own website that it has made a profit, but because it has to make this mandate a cost of $5.5 billion every year, it has driven it into a loss situation, and that's a situation that's been caused by Congress.
Give us a little history. Caused by Congress, but presumably at the insistence of one or another interest, and I would assume that your organization, the Association of Letter Carriers, would want to see the pensions fully funded, wouldn't it?
Well, see, that's just what you just mentioned is something that's interesting. You just mentioned the pensions. This is not pensions. It keeps getting confused over and over again. Our pensions are fully funded. A matter of fact, our pensions, both for new employees and for civil service employees, which are the older employees and the FERS employees are new, are fully funded. And actually, there's over a $50 billion surplus in that fund. This is for future retiree health benefits. This is to help cover the cost or defray the cost of health benefits of future retirees up to 75 years from now. This is employees that haven't even been hired yet. This is for employees that haven't even been born yet.
How did it get into the law, though?
It got put in the law back when the President Bush signed the Postal Reform Act back in 2006 to include this. And at the time when it went forward, the Postal Service was in the black billions of dollars. They were making quite a bit of money back then. And then it's not due to e-commerce, it's not due to the email, it's due to the recession having a big hit on everybody across the country that there was no large profits. There's a profit in the Postal Service, approximately over $200 million last year. But there's not these large profits that would cover paying into this and to continue hiring. But they haven't been hiring, and neither has anybody else across this country. In fact, they've been downsizing to about 55,000 jobs over the past few years through attrition.
John Beaumont again at the National Association of Letter Carriers, the California state president of that organization. James Gattuso is a senior fellow in regulatory policy at the Heritage Foundation, conservative organization. He focuses on technology. James Gattuso, good to have you on our program.
Thank you.
Mr. Beaumont just said that this doesn't have to do with e-commerce. It's not because the post office is suffering from competition with the Internet, but rather because of this requirement by the Congress. If it's making a profit, does that make sense?
Well, first off, I don't see a profit. Earlier this month, the Postal Service reported a $3.3 billion net loss for the first quarter. They lost $5 billion the year before, $8 billion the year before that. They're suffering losses and suffering big losses.
Well, is that because of this requirement that they fund the health benefits for 75 years?
No. In fact, what's happening is they are losing customers. In 2006, the Postal Service moved 213 billion pieces of first-class mail. A couple of years, last year it was 150 billion. It's going to go down by 2015 to 130 billion. This is a shrinking business. Essentially, the Postal Service is on the wrong side of the information revolution. Their business is being replaced by email, by Internet, by instant messaging. And it's something everyone is familiar with. Who isn't getting fewer letters in the mail? Who isn't using online banking, emailing friends to write letters? It's a good thing for society as a whole that we have these new technologies, but it presents a real challenge for the Postal Service.
John Beaumont, where does this profit idea then come from? You said the Post Office, and I read it myself, has announced a profit.
Yes, the Post Office has announced a profit, and like your other guest has said, there has been some downturn in the first-class mail market. That's actual letter mail, and there has been, and there's no dispute about that. The money he's actually mentioning is the $5.5 billion, is part of the pre-funding requirement. It's actually in writing in the Postal Service's webpage itself going forward. What we're looking at right now is that we are making money actually due to e-commerce. We have a 6% growth in our parcel market alone last year, and that is because a lot more people are choosing to use our priority mail service. I'm sure you've seen on commercial if it fits, it ships project that's been going out. We've been getting that out. We do the last mile project, which means that we deliver parcels for both UPS and FedEx in the neighborhoods in the last mile of the neighborhoods itself, where it's not efficient for them to deliver it, so they have a partnership with us where they drop it off to the post office and go out and deliver to those neighborhoods. So we're out there not only getting those parcels out, making a profit on the parcels. You look at eBay, you look at Amazon.com, you look at how much money is actually generated to the Postal Service through those large companies and others across the country, and you can see how the profit margin, the Postal Service is adapting and changing. There's no doubt about it, but it is changing, and it has brought in a profit over the last couple of years.
So, Mr. Gattuso, what do you say to all that?
Well, you know, the parcel market is growing. It's growing for UPS and for FedEx and DHL and all the competitors in that market, of which there are many. And that's because of the Internet. More packages are being delivered from Amazon, eBay, and what have you. But that's a very small part of the Postal Service's activities. The Postal Service is still primarily a letter a deliver of first-class mail and third-class direct mail advertising, and those markets are shrinking fast. If the Postal Service were a FedEx, if it were focused on parcel post, I think it would have a much better chance. But its real problem is that the bulk of its costs and is in letter mail, and that's where the market is shrinking fast.
So, obviously, you both have different points of view about the universe of Postal Service. Mr. Beaumont, back to you with the National Association of Letter Carriers. What's going to happen if, in fact, the proposals made by the Post Office go through and they have all these closures? And how fast is it going to happen?
Well, the speed of something that happens like that is going to be dependent on Congress. If Congress is going to listen to the majority of the American public, which is starting to speak out, saying, hey, if there's a different way of saving the Postal Service, we should look at making those changes. And if we can do that and work together, and we can work together with all of the different interest groups, not just the union, not just management, but all the different companies that work together with the Postal Service on how to readjust the Postal Service will survive and be able to keep most, if not all, of those processing plants open. But right now, there's a moratorium till May. Congress will decide that to go forward. There's other things, though, that you have to look at the Postal Service. The second word is service. We are there as a service. Keep comparing us over and over again to different companies that aren't there as a service. We're to provide universal mail service 6 days a week out there delivering mail. In that mail, some of the stuff out there is extremely important, not just letter mail, but look at the prescription drugs that we deliver across this country. Our seniors rely on those. If we did away, if one of the proposals is doing away with a day of delivery from 6 days to 5 days, and then there was a holiday on that weekend, you could delay somebody's prescription drugs in this country up to 4 days. And if they're waiting for heart medicine or diabetic medicine or anything that's really crucial, that really affects our seniors and the American public as a whole.
Yeah, Mr. Gattuso, are you in favor of actually phasing the Postal Service out?
I'm in favor of reinventing the Postal Service. It has a lot of assets and a lot of people and knowledge that can be used in a lot of areas. The problem is that the business of delivering letter mail, pieces of paper with things written on it from one location to another, is shrinking. And that is no longer a viable business model. So I think the Postal Service needs the flexibility first to move to new services, as has happened in Europe. Deutsche Post, Holland, Denmark have all moved towards using the Postal Services for logistics, for marketing, for document management, all sorts of things. that have turned those organizations around.
Is that fundamentally different from what we heard from Mr. Beaumont about working with all the different entities in order to try to save this?
Well, it is fundamentally different because there is a degree of change that is needed that I don't think has been acknowledged by many in the debate. Processing centers, the old business model of having trucks delivering letters door to door on 6 days a week is no longer going to be viable. We're talking about a change on the scale of the type that Kodak tried to go through when it lost its photographic film market, of the sort of change that Western Union went through when the telegraph when telegrams became obsolete. Basically, you need reinvention, and simply giving the Postal Service more money to survive another year, which is all that would happen if this these health benefit funds were transferred over, is only going to put off the problem for a year when it will be harder to solve.
Mr. Beaumont, 30 seconds to respond. Go ahead.
Well, you know, you're saying giving back the Postal Service. It's actually relieving them from having to make a payment nobody else has. $5.5 billion. That is the bulk of the entire amount of money that the loss of the Postal Service has. The Postal Service wants to reinvent itself. The unions want to work together to reinvent itself. But you cannot reinvent or change a company when you're paying $5.5 billion that's carried over when the debt can't be made and interest is added to it every year when you need that money to make changes.
Okay.
Changes like greening our fleet, changing our vehicles and going forward.
All right. Thank you both. Obviously, much to be done by the Congress. John Beaumont with the National Association of Letter Carriers, California State President James Gattuso at the Heritage Foundation. Today's program produced by Karen Radziner, Katie Cooper, Sonia Geis, Anna Scott, and Caitlin Schamberg. I'm Warman Olney. Join us again for To the Point.
PRI, Public Radio International.